short-term rental investors and operators need to look at the glamping industry because, you know, I don't know, I don't know a ton about Airbnb investing, but I think I'm right in saying that, let's say, you know, a 10% cap rate is a pretty good kind of investment in that kind of industry. Glamping can just blow that out of the water. And that's for, you know, I consider kind of Ben Wolf, Isaac French, I call them glamping. I know they don't call it glamping. Everyone has different definitions, but I think, you know, you've got on one end of the spectrum, you've got those guys who super luxury, and there probably is a level above that as well with, you know, people who charge $2,500 a night, but you've got one end of the spectrum that is super unique, super luxury. Then you've also got the kind of smaller, more, and a lot of these are independent kind of setups who maybe just have, you know, a few safari tents. And I don't think that model will be incredible forever because the industry evolves as it always does. But even that, the payback period can actually be less than the likes of Ben Wolf and Isaac French. You know, I've seen people pay back their investment within 3 years on those kind of operations.
Welcome to Behind the Stays, a podcast that shares the stories behind your favorite Airbnbs, boutique hotels, and hospitality brands, and the hosts, operators, and entrepreneurs who have brought them to life. Every Tuesday and Friday, you'll meet the military veterans, the retired flight attendants, tech entrepreneurs, the school teachers, the single moms, and the real estate investors who are all, in their own unique ways, shaping the future of travel and hospitality. Discover how these visionaries from all over the world have built chic cabins in the mountains, designed bohemian bungalows on the beach, erected eclectic off-grid and nature-immersed escapes, and so much more. Behind the Stays is brought to you by Spontaneous, the internet's best destination for last-minute Airbnb deals. You can subscribe for free at spontaneous.com. And I'm your host, Zach Buzicruz, co-founder and CEO of Spontaneous. All right, friends, enjoy the show. In just a moment, you'll meet Nick Persla, who is both the co-founder of Glampatech North America, an incredible educational and consulting resource for setting up your own glamping site, and also the co-founder of a new startup called Posh Outdoors, which supplies owners of iconic properties with high-end glamping units and back-end support at no upfront cost to the landowner. And they do this through an attractive revenue share model. Growing up, Nick wanted to be a lawyer, but after graduating from university with a law degree, he realized that being an entrepreneur would just be a heck of a lot more fun and definitely more rewarding. Nick has always loved to travel, and when an opportunity presented itself to work for a glamping startup in the UK, he jumped at the opportunity and actually started working there for free. In this conversation, Nick and I discuss the booming glamping industry in North America, why more landowners should consider augmenting their hospitality businesses with glamping units, how Nick teamed up with some incredible serial entrepreneurs to launch Posh Outdoors, Posh Outdoors' unique model of supplying Instagram-worthy glamping units to hospitality entrepreneurs with no upfront costs, and how you, my friends, yes, you, listener, can invest in this exciting new startup today. I highly encourage you all to check out the investment opportunity via the link in the show notes below. It is absolutely incredible. Their deal page is fantastic. Posh Outdoors is making it easy for you to invest in luxury glamping as an entire asset class rather than a glamping resort that is in one specific geo. All right, friends, without further ado, get ready to meet Nick. Alrighty, Nick, we are live. Good sir, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, very well. I'm a bit swept off my feet, but we're just about there.
Well, dude, I'm so glad we're finally doing this because I've been on your podcast and we've been friends and you know, talking through LinkedIn DMs and email for, I don't know, well over a year probably at this point, but you've never actually been on the show. So I am super excited to have you on my show Behind the Stays to hear a little bit more of course about your story, but more importantly, this incredible new exciting project that you are really just getting off the ground here. But Nick, why don't we start at the beginning? I want to hear a little bit about how you actually got into glamping to begin with. And you're from the UK originally, and you've started Glampatech North America. Mm-hmm. talk to us a little bit about like your journey in the glamping space, and then we'll dive into all the fun, exciting things happening with your new venture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, as you say, I'm from the UK. I was studying law at the University of Manchester. And I realized after about 6 months of doing that, that being a lawyer was the last thing in the world that I wanted to do. So I binned that off straight away. Well, I still carried on studying. I got my degree, but I very early on, I decided I'm going to have to look for other opportunities. And I'd always had an interest in business and entrepreneurship. So I kind of had that in mind as something that I would eventually like to get into post-university. So I offered to do a bit of marketing for free for this guy that I knew locally who he actually made these timber frames for glamping pods, which are like quite popular glamping units in the UK. Huh. Offered to do it for free. He did end up paying me actually. But through that, I got speaking to a guy called Callum McLeod at Glampitect. Glampitect was at the time just a UK-based company. They help people start glamping businesses by getting planning permission for glamping operators, which is basically the permitting system in the UK. And I just said, I was actually just interviewing him for the role that I was doing for the guy for free. And he basically offered me a job in a couple of minutes just because I think he could see that I kind of could bring something that maybe he didn't have at the business at the time, which was basically, I basically just replaced a lot of his functions that he didn't want to do anymore. So he wanted to kind of offload some things. So I just started writing content for him and doing a bit of marketing for him. And suppose it went quite well, kind of moved up the ranks a little bit pretty quickly. This was all part time. And then we were at the Glamping Show UK, probably, I think it was maybe 2021, it's 2021. We had a pretty good show. I tried my hand at sales for the first time and it went okay. Huh. And the last night of the show, we had a few beers and we had a bit of fun. And, after a few beers, you have the conversations that you wouldn't have sober. And I just said to him, let me crack America for you. So he had kind of been thinking the same thing, really. So it kind of worked out pretty nicely. And I was graduating in about 9 months' time. So 9 months later, we launched Glampitect North America, wow. Actually from the UK, because I couldn't get a visa in the US just because it's insanely difficult, which is another story in itself. But we launched that. And the plan there was always really to establish credibility in North America and build glamping sites of our own, just because that's where the money is really. We saw the potential of the market and that's what we wanted to get into. So launched that business, we got a podcast, did some blogs and we started getting a bit of traction there, started building, a bit of a reputation in the industry, and you start growing your network. And, we got speaking to a group of guys who are looking to start a startup called Posh Outdoors. And, it's taken a little bit longer than we thought, but 18 months later, we're here.
Wow. Well, I want to hear all about Posh in a second. And first of all, Posh Outdoors is like such a cool name. And I think from a branding perspective, you guys can do a lot. And I want to give our listeners all the details on what you guys are doing, how you're approaching it, and then really invite people who might be interested in helping participate in getting this off the ground. But to just kind of circle back to something, a couple things that you said just a moment ago, I'm curious, like, from your perspective, is glamping in the UK from like a market perspective, is it further along than in the US? Is it significantly behind the US? Like, help give our listeners, and the reason I ask is I feel like over the last, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months, I just happen to have met a ton of people from the UK who are doing really cool glamping concepts. And so, and not to say that I haven't met many in the States doing the same, but I don't know if that's just my network and I'm just getting introduced to like the right people, but like, talk to me a little bit about like from a market standpoint, where the UK is at with glamping versus the US.
Yeah. So when you ask, is it further along? I would say the answer is yes and no. It's further along in the sense that it started earlier. It picked up momentum earlier. It came into the national consciousness earlier. Absolutely. But I think, up until recently, at least, there's a lot more innovation and creativity and variety in the US. partially because, you know, it's such a big country that you've got snowy landscapes on one end and you've got California on the other. It's, you know, that you don't get that in the UK. It's a very similar climate all around, and you don't get, you know, there's no Rocky Mountains in the UK. There's some beautiful scenery, but it's just not quite that kind of level. So you get more variety in the US, whereas in the UK, it's largely just glamping pods, shepherd huts, and, you know, yurts, and some domes as well. Whereas in the US and Canada, there is more variety. The other huge difference over here, and I say over here because I moved to Canada coming up to a year ago now, really to explore posh outdoors as an opportunity. The big difference over here, particularly in the US, is the availability of venture capital and institutional capital. Yeah. And that speaks more to the US versus the UK as economies and cultures rather than just glamping specifically. But you've got over here, you've got AutoCamp, Under Canvas, and all of those kind of companies that are backed by big money. The UK, the biggest investment I've heard of in the UK for a company, I think, is like £250,000.
Wow.
Just that. And I'm sure, you know, if there was a company that went for something bigger in the UK, they could do it. But there just isn't there's just a different business landscape between the two countries. So I think the availability of capital in the US has definitely kind of accelerated it. Accelerated the bigger brands, absolutely. But there's still that kind of independent feel as well with the smaller operators. You know, I interview a lot on my podcast every week. But in the UK, it's pretty much all independent. There are very few larger brands.
Yeah. It's been really interesting because the way that this podcast started, right, was interviewing folks who'd built really cool Airbnb experiences, folks who had really cool, compelling stories about how they started hosting and the various reasons behind why they host. And it's sort of graduated right into this like unique stay stuff. And I've been talking to a lot of folks who have just built really cool, one of a kind, units and experiences. And what's also sort of happening is that the unique stay people, eventually after you build a couple A-frames, you decide, hey, I think I want to do like a proper like glamping site, right? Mm-hmm. Or I want to take the getaway model and do it in like my market or my context. And so then I've been opened up to a lot of people, and I've been able to talk to a lot of people like yourself who are super deep invested in sort of this glamping space and are working on just incredible concepts. So it's interesting to sort of see this kind of like evolution from an entrepreneur's perspective, right? Of like starting with something unique, realizing, whoa, I can charge like way more money on this A-frame than I could my, you know, single family home, or even like my more traditional cabin. Cool. Check. Done that. It's, you know, booked 95% of the time. You know, what's next? Oh, cool. Like, what if I did 5 of these? What if I did 10 of these? Maybe I should do yurts. Maybe I should design something totally like one of one and totally unique. Right. So it's cool to just see how I think we're living through a moment, quite frankly, in hospitality, where being able to be incredibly creative with the experiences that you're building, quite literally building and then design, you know, or I should say designing, then building, then ultimately hosting, it's never felt like there's more permission to be creative than right now. So it's just an exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, I've been banging the drum for a while that short-term rental investors and operators need to look at the glamping industry because, you know, I don't know, I don't know a ton about Airbnb investing, but I think I'm right in saying that, let's say, you know, a 10% cap rate is a pretty good kind of investment in that kind of industry. Glamping can just blow that out of the water. And that's for, you know, I consider kind of Ben Wolf, Isaac French, I call them glamping. I know they don't call it glamping. Everyone has different definitions, but I think, you know, you've got on one end of the spectrum, you've got those guys who super luxury, and there probably is a level above that as well with, you know, people who charge $2,500 a night, but you've got one end of the spectrum that is super unique, super luxury. Then you've also got the kind of smaller, more, and a lot of these are independent kind of setups who maybe just have, you know, a few safari tents. And I don't think that model will be incredible forever because the industry evolves as it always does. But even that, the payback period can actually be less than the likes of Ben Wolf and Isaac French. You know, you can I've seen people pay back their investment within 3 years on those kind of operations. And I'm not saying that's the way the industry is going and that's where people should be putting their money, but I don't think short-term rental investors and operators have quite realized just the potential of glamping at all ends of the spectrum. And I think certainly the future of the industry is more along the lines of what Ben Wolf's doing, what Isaac French is doing. But there is real opportunity here, and incredible ROI. And that's you know, why we're doing Posh Outdoors. And that's why, you know, I want to speak to the likes of you and get kind of into that short-term rental kind of space, just because the numbers are incredible. And I know a lot of short-term rental investors just look at the numbers. That's what they care about. And look at our deal page, the numbers look pretty good. And that's, you know, that's why I think, you know, you're getting more of these people on, because it's A, it's cool, and B, the numbers are incredible. I think people are starting to take notice.
Well, and it's hitting, right? It's hitting sort of like a number of things that today's travelers like desire, right? You want to escape from the city. You want to escape even from your, you know, suburban home. You want to go feel like you're in the wild. You want to go be a little wild, right? But you also want comforts, and you want to know that, like, you can still post about being wild while, you know, in a safari tent or whatever it is. A friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, a new friend of mine, I think you've known him longer, Derry, who's got the secret garden glamping space, who he's I think his episode will release right after the one that we're doing right now, but I've spoken with him already, and one of the things he said that really stuck with me is he said, you know, a lot of people, when they think about designing glamping sites today, they think it needs to be like ultra luxury, right? It's all about like this 350 square foot, like ridiculously beautiful treehouse that you spend $1,000 a night staying at or whatever, right? And you only ever do it once because it's expensive, but like you saw it on Instagram and like you want to go live that experience. And what Derry said was like, he sort of thinks back to when he was camping as a kid, right? And he was like, when I was camping as a kid, like we'd pitch the tent and then we'd just run around outside, right? We'd build a fire. We'd go like, you know, roast some marshmallows. We'd go on hikes. Then we'd return to the tent when we were like freaking like exhausted, and we'd just pass out until the next morning, and then we'd be outside again. Mm-hmm. So he talked a lot about this idea where like so much of glamping today, at least some of the movement, seems to be focused on trying to create this insanely beautiful space that people want to stay inside the whole time almost, and like not even go outside because it's so luxury. And he's like, no, I'm going to do the opposite. You best believe like we've got a comfortable, beautiful place to sleep. But it's really more about making sure that like you're outside and not in the structure itself. And when he said that, it just like hit home for me, because I was like, wow, like you're right. Like this is a totally different strategy that is also glamping. And so this whole definition of glamping then becomes complicated, because what does it actually mean, right? It means so many different things to so many different people. But I think the bigger point I'm trying to make is that there's so much opportunity, and folks who have been really creative and entrepreneurial in the short-term rental space and have built really cool, unique experiences for their guests. In many ways, this could actually be a lot easier, and to your point, actually yield significantly more than their other investments.
I would say that there are things that are more difficult about glamping, boutique hotels, whatever you want to call it. Finding land, for example, it's easy to buy a property than it is to buy raw land and build the infrastructure. Yeah. That can be difficult and that can be expensive. So, you know, I don't want to give the impression that this is easy, but absolutely. And you know, what you said there about how there are different types of experiences. The way I interview a lot of operators on my podcast, and you know, there's kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. You've got the likes of Ben Wolf, who, by the way, I forgot to mention, is a board member of Posh Outdoors. Just getting that in there.
Amazing. I love Ben.
You've got one end of the spectrum where, you know, like Ben Wolf at Anera, like Isaac French at Live Oak Lake, they're very much kind of the tech-centric, automated, come and enjoy your stay. We won't bother you. Just get there and enjoy it, and you know, that's your stay. There's that end of the spectrum, and that's fantastic. That's unique in itself, and that's definitely kind of, I think if you're an STR operator investor looking to get involved, that's probably where you're going to be looking at, because I don't think most people listening to this podcast would necessarily want to be on the ground welcoming guests and everything like that. Definitely kind of lends itself to scalability. But on the other end of the spectrum, I've spoken to a lot of people who have had a lot of success, and maybe they got into this more organically rather than thinking, okay, I've seen the numbers, this looks great, let's do this, who absolutely adore welcoming the guests, having lots of touch points. And I think it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking there's only one way to do this, but that kind of traditional high touch hospitality, that can be massively effective as well. I spoke to a lady called Irene Wood, who owns a glamping site called The Fields of Michigan, doing incredibly well. They're expanding, you know, all the time. And she's on site all the time. She's welcoming guests. Her staff are welcoming guests. They're always, and they get lots of feedback and improve because they have those conversations, those natural organic conversations on site. And that's a model that also works and can also be incredibly rewarding, you know, having spoken to people who, they'll at the end of their stay, I've spoken to at least three people who have said at the end of their stay, the guest has come to them and just said, thank you so much. You've either saved our marriage, you've either repaired a relationship between mother and daughter or whatever. There's been so many conversations with so many operators that have gone along those lines, that maybe it's something to consider if you do enjoy that high touch hospitality, then there is that other end of the spectrum as well. So the wider point, I suppose, is there's so many different ways to do this, and that's what I think makes the industry so exciting.
I couldn't agree with you more there. I was at an industry networking event recently with some incredible hospitality entrepreneurs, and there was one topic of conversation that everyone was chatting about. Can you guess what it was? Keep in mind, this was an event with some of the most incredible folks building unique stays, micro resorts, and other unforgettable Airbnbs. So these folks knew what they were doing. These weren't like industry newbies. Any guesses? Can you guess what the hottest topic of conversation was? Well, if you guessed cleaning, you'd be right. You see, it doesn't matter if your average nightly rate is $100 or $1,000, if it's your guest room or the world's most unique treehouse. If the stay isn't clean, your guests aren't going to be happy. And finding the right cleaning team, especially these days, is really tough. But my new friends at Turno help make it easier. Turno is the smartest way to schedule, pay, and find vacation rental cleaners. Think of Turno as an Uber or TaskRabbit for STR hosts. Simply create an account, describe your listing's cleaning needs, and Turno will match you with cleaners near you. And get this, each cleaner's profile is complete with ratings and reviews from other STR hosts, so you know what you're getting into and who you're going to be working with ahead of time, rather than crossing your fingers and praying that your new cleaner meets your expectations. And you can store all of the cleaning preferences that you have in your account that is associated with each of your listings. This ensures a quality cleaning every time. Turno's auto-scheduling feature syncs to your rental calendar and automatically generates cleaning projects associated with guest check-in and check-out dates to be shared with cleaners. After the cleaning, Turno can auto-process payments for you. How cool is that? So no more like Venmoing people over, you know, your iPhone. And it gets even better, friends. Turno offers a simple, affordable pricing for STR hosts of any size. Single property accounts and marketplace users get access to all the platform's tools and features for free. And they make working with your existing teams easy too, with plans as low as just $6 per property per month. There's so much to Turno, so I want you to take just 5 minutes to explore their offering further at turno.com/behindthestays. And the team there is offering Behind the Stays listeners a $150 Amazon gift card after you complete your first turnover before March 31st of 2024. So don't sleep on this, folks. Go to turno.com/behindthestays to learn more. We should talk about Posh Outdoors because we've alluded to it a couple times already, but tell us like what Posh Outdoors is. So give us sort of just kind of like a macro overview of the project and what you guys are building, and then kind of like the stage that the business is at.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, what Posh Outdoors is we've partnered with a company called EJH Distribution, who supply luxury year-round glamping structures from a variety of different manufacturers. They're a North American distributor for multiple different manufacturers. So we're supplying luxury glamping structures to landowners for no upfront cost in return for a split of the revenue. That's it in a nutshell. We are primarily targeting existing tourism businesses, like wedding venues, wineries, ranches, but not exclusively. We've got a signed contract with a company called Skyridge Glamping in Kananaskis in the Rocky Mountains of Canada, and that is just, you know, a new glamping site. So it's not all existing businesses, but basically, yeah, it's that revenue share model where we partner rather than go through the lengthy and extensive process of finding land, buying land, getting the permits. So we prefer that model just because it's insanely scalable. The landowners come to us because, you know, my business, for example, I don't know if we've mentioned it, but we have mentioned it, obviously. But Glampotech North America, you know, for example, generates lots of leads from prospective glamping owners. So the land comes to us rather than us having to go and find the land. And we think it's an insanely scalable model. The numbers look incredible. And we've got, a long pipeline of partners coming up.
So just so I'm clear, so if I, let's say I have a piece of land and it's in this like beautiful, like, you know, just total quintessential, like, you know, luxury, like nature, immersive escape place. You're saying you guys will give me a structure for free as long as I agree to some rev share.
Yeah. So
for,
I mean,
some period of time.
Yeah. You're paying for it through your revenue, basically.
Sure. There's no upfront cost.
No. So generally the landowners will need to cover the cost of infrastructure. Wow. So utilities. Now there may be potential for us in return for a bigger revenue share for us to contribute towards that. But, you know, every deal is different. But generally, yeah, the landowner will cover the infrastructure and the on-the-ground operations, and we supply the glamping structures. We install the glamping structures, and we can also supply kind of the back-end support, the marketing support, the booking generation and everything like that. Again, it depends on the particulars of the deal. But yes, it massively cuts down on the capital requirements for the landowner, which can often make all the difference. You know, I speak to a lot of people who maybe have a few $100,000, but they just don't have that extra to take them over the line. So that can let people get into business. But also we bring, you know, industry experience, the supply chain, and everything like that that can, you know, take their business to the next level as well.
This is super, super interesting. I haven't heard of anything quite like this, other than, like, I've heard, like, I don't know if you know the folks at Jupe at all.
Yes.
So Jupe's model, at least at the time when I spoke to them, it's been a while, but initially when I spoke to them, their model was somewhat similar, right? Like, Jupes were free. Mm-hmm. They'd drop it on your land, and then there'd be some sort of like rev share agreement. And Jupes, for our listeners, if you're not familiar, they're sort of like this really cool, like, high end tent, but like a very, very like small tent. It looks almost like a spaceship pod, to be honest. It's like very small. It's really just like a bed inside, but like very well designed, beautiful, really cool, cool structure. So it sounds like a little bit of a similar model to them. But what's really cool about this is, like, it enables people that do have land, which many people do, who've already maybe built some A-frames or built some other kind of cool, unique structures. It enables them to increase the diversity of their quote unquote unique stay portfolio with little to no upfront cost. Mm-hmm. And then it enables them to actually invest, you know, in bettering the actual overall hospitality experience, if that is something that they really care about. Again, because at the end of the day, it's a rev share agreement, but they're not having to hire an architect, right? Hire a builder, furnish this space. So this is really neat. So talk to us a little bit about, like, what have you guys learned so far? Like, I know that you guys are in the process of fundraising, like, right now, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yeah. So that's what we're looking for. Essentially, we've got the team in place. You know, we've got the CEO and CFO, serial entrepreneurs. They've got multiple successful exits between them. We've got the chief supply chain officer, Ed Haynes, who owns EJH Distribution, who are supplying the structures. You've got me, who brings in the land needs through Glamprotect, and we've got Ben Wolf on the board as well, who everyone here knows through an era. We are also maybe looking at adding a couple of other kind of industry people to the board as well. So the only thing that's missing currently is the capital. So we started the fundraising campaign yesterday. So that would be the 16th of April. We're doing a kind of a crowdfunding campaign using all of our networks. I'm going to be sending it. In fact, this will be sent to the Glampotech kind of network by the time this episode is out. We're looking for capital, we're looking for investors, partners, and obviously landowner partners as well, but that's, you know, that's not in short supply. Nothing is in short supply apart from, you know, we're looking for the capital. So that's been, you know, an interesting experience. It's the first time, you know, we're only a day in, but it's the first time I've gone for a big raise like this. You know, I'm only 24. There's a lot that's gone into that, but I've loved it so far. A lot of work, but I like working hard. What have I learned? I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit too early, but I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know what I've learned, Zach. I'm struggling.
I mean, you've clearly learned, right? Like, hey, there's a big opportunity in this space. It's, you know, hard to freaking fundraise right now, I assume, from everything that you hear. And yet, like, at the same time, what you guys are offering potential investors is the opportunity to, like, invest in something super novel and super, and not even, sorry, not even like that novel. It's super unique, right? And it's something where there are enough examples out there to use it. Like, you could even just, look at Onera, Ben Wolf's portfolio. You look at Isaac French, Live Oak Lake's, you know, portfolio. Obviously, there are differences, but, like, you can look at these examples and you can look at, like, the returns that folks are seeing there and just be like, oh my gosh, well, if we just did this at scale, and quite frankly, if we enabled people to not have to pay anything up front to get access to these, you know, Instagrammable stays, which is what everyone wants. I mean, this is a huge business. Like, this has like crazy, crazy opportunity. And the, you know, the projections that you have on your deal page, which, if you're comfortable, Nick, we can link this in the show notes below. Please, so anyone do. Can look at it. I mean, these are they're not crazy from what I've heard from other people in the industry who are actively doing this work right now as well. Yeah. So, I mean, these returns are truly remarkable. So yeah, I mean, you've clearly learned a thing or two about, like, the opportunity, at least, that exists here.
And what I would say on that as well is you mentioned, you know, that we're looking to do dozens and dozens of these locations. The one thing that really isn't in short supply is the partner pipeline. We've got, as I say, we've got a signed contract with Sky Ridge Glamping in Kananaskis, and there's just so many more waiting and ready to partner up. So that's not in short supply. And this is the thing that I really want to emphasize is this isn't just an opportunity to invest in one glamping project. And you've seen that one glamping project can have incredible returns. You know, Ben Wolf sold his for, I think, you know, this is publicly available, $6.7 million after 14 months of operation with 11 units. Under Canvas, the glamping pioneers, I would say, in North America, they had 8 seasonal locations, you know, open 4 or 5 months of the year. They had 8 locations in, I think it was 2018, 2019, and they sold for over $100 million. We're offering an investment in the mothership company, which we think is going to have dozens and dozens of sites, of, you know, kind of most will be somewhere between kind of 15 and 25 units, all across the US, Canada, and, you know, I would expect beyond eventually. This opportunity is going to be here once to get involved at the mothership level. Beyond that, we're going to do a Series A after 3 years. That's the plan. And then, you know, we may do kind of raising from site to site where you can invest in the individual projects. But this is the chance to get involved at the mothership level, where you'll have an ownership over a company that is intending to operate dozens of sites across the US and Canada. So that's something that I would emphasize. You know, it's kind of, you know, the way I described it the other day is it's if you offered someone a time machine to go back to 2011 and invest in Under Canvas on steroids, that's why I would say it is. It's, you know, you're going to have ownership over dozens of operations.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds almost too good to be true.
You're going to get people suspicious.
No. But, and honestly, like, I guess the only reason I you know, really do believe this is because, again, I've got friends in the space, Ben Wolf, Isaac French, many others who have literally actually done this and, you know, even offline have shared some stuff with me about how it's actually worked. So it does work. And quite frankly, you just look at some of these stays, you just look at these stays on Airbnb and you look at their occupancy, right? And it's like, it's incredibly difficult to find availability, right? Some of the most, these incredibly popular stays, like, they're just booked constantly, right? So, you know, you think about sort of the numbers here and how deals like this pencil. And I really don't think what you guys are proposing is off at all.
Yeah.
And even in, like, these kind of, you know, current conditions, one of the things that I think is really interesting is, like, Techfester, who I'm good friends with the folks over at Techfester. One of the things that they've done really well is, you know, they're building a portfolio of short-term rentals that they own and then manage, right? And so you can invest in, like, their fund, right? And I think that are up to, like, 125, maybe 150, you know, homes. And what they do is a little bit different than what a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast are trying to do, in that they just go, they buy, like, the run of the mill traditional single family home. But then they turn it into, like, a really cool, like, unique experience with, like, branded houses. They've got, like, themed single family homes.
Is that the guy on Twitter?
Taylor Jones.
Yeah, they're great at what they do, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're really, really good at what they do. And you know, I'm not an investor or anything with them, but from what I've seen and the people that I do know that do invest with them, I mean, they are seeing better returns than they would have seen if they had just gone and built mm-hmm. their own short-term rental, right? And rented it on Airbnb. And I think to the parallel here that I'm trying to make is that when you invest in something where there are multiple locations in multiple different markets, right? But you've got the right people yep. behind the operation. That's where like these magical returns seemingly, right? Can actually happen. And I haven't, you know, and Ben Wolf, right? Who I feel like I talk about Ben on this podcast.
I mentioned him about five times
He's not paying me, guys. I promise. He's just doing cool shit, you know? But you know, his stuff is all located in, it's all Texas Hill Country, yep. right? It's very demo specific, right? To one area. What you guys are trying to do is take the concept, take the model, but then distribute it far and wide, yeah. which is just, you know, more exciting to the casual investor.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because I was actually going to say, you know, I think people listening to this will know about hotspots like Texas Hill Country. You know, I think
yeah.
the lack of zoning and things like that really helps there, and that's led to hotspots there. But there's so many places that people may not be as aware about, or may not even have the chance to invest in, because let's say they're based in the US. We think the Rocky Mountains of Canada is an incredible, incredible opportunity. That's why our first project is we've signed a contract to be there. We think, you know, we'd like to build a pipeline up the Rocky Mountains and create a whole route going through that.
Wow.
And places like that people might not know about, because A, it's a different country, and B, it's maybe it's not untapped. There's a lot there. There's, for example, there's a company called Base Camp Resorts that's doing very well, building a kind yeah. of pipeline around there. But it's places like that where people may not be as aware of, but it's an incredible opportunity, because so many people go there. There's a lot of money up here, kind of Edmonton, Calgary, people go there and you know, there's a hell of a lot of money and people spend money going there in the winter and the summer. And just people may not be aware of it, but the scenery is absolutely mind-blowing. You wouldn't believe it. I didn't believe it until I drove through the Rockies, and it was incredible. So places like that people may not be aware of, we want to explore, and the beauty of the model, and the fact that my business Glamprotect is part of Posh, is that we get calls from all over the US and Canada and beyond. And you never know until you pick up the phone, where an opportunity is going to take you. And so the plan is, you know, we're starting with the US and Canada. It may go beyond that, but there's just so many opportunities outside of the hotspots that may be talked about a lot, that, that's what really excites me. And people are going to have the chance to kind of get involved in that.
Yeah. I mean, and I love that you mentioned that, because one of the things that I think people that listen to this podcast and, or just, you know, plugged into the community on social media, it can seem like there are just these like meccas of unique stays. And I've said this like a dozen times, but like Texas Hill Country is definitely sort of like this mecca for
yeah.
unique, you know, short-term rentals, unique glamping concepts. But from my perspective, again, no like dig on anyone doing cool things there. Like, there are so many more beautiful places than the Texas Hill. Oh, yeah. Like, it is a pretty, quite frankly, like ugly place at the end of the day. I mean, I've been there so many times, and every time I'm like, why do people come yeah. here? Like, really? You know, and I know why people come there, right? There's not a lot of pretty places in Texas, quite frankly. And so there's a lot of wealth in Texas. And if you live in Austin, if you live in San Antonio, if you live, you know, in Dallas and Houston, you want an escape, right? Into something that feels kind of like you're in nature. That's your only option, right? Yeah. So that's why it is the hotspot that it is. But there are so many more beautiful places around the world, and so seeing like how you could take a concept like some of these folks are doing in the Texas Hill Country, but then like actually put it in like desirable places or unexpected places. I mean, that's huge. And the way that you guys could do this, right, which, you know, of course, much better than I do, it's your business, is you're working with people that already own, right, land there, and they've already established, right, a presence there. They understand, you know, the market. They understand the traveler. They understand the climate, right? And so they're able to give you guys all that context. You sort of just get to like plug in and play,
yeah.
Which is super, super cool.
Yeah, and just to go back on the point about, you know, the Hill Country, I would say go on our deal page, look at Sky Ridge Glamping. There's a link there that's going to be our first location if we raise the money in time. There is a tight timeline on that. So, you know, anyone interested in investing, hurry up. but just look at the mountains. That is, you know, it's a real picture from that property, and the mountains are incredible. So just take a look. Anyway, that's the in terms of the landowners knowing the market and what's going on, that's the beauty of this model. Is we're not kind of, you know, we're looking at doing dozens of sites with dozens of different operators. We're never going to have the, you know, the ultra strong brand that, for example, a guy who's going out and building location by location is going to have. That's just not going to be possible. It's just a different model. We're going to have a brand, obviously, but it's going to be a little bit looser than say a traditional brand. But that gives us the opportunity to work with the landowner to understand kind of how they want to do things. So the first project will be, as I say, in the Rockies. The second project we've got lined up is in Florida on an agritourism project. They know that land better than us. They know that area and that market and what works better than us. So we trust that partner and that operator. And we supply the units. We give our input. We have connections that can help kind of design an experience. But ultimately, we trust the partner, and they know the land and what works and what doesn't. They know their existing footfall as well for existing businesses, you know, like the wineries and ranches. They know their kind of target market. So there's going to be different experiences available at different places. And that's kind of part of the model, really, is we work with different types of people in different parts of the world. And that's really exciting, because a stay at Kananaskis in the Rockies is just going to be completely different to a stay down in Florida on a farm, kind of agritourism operation.
Last minute cancellations suck, and that's why we built Ping. Ping makes it easy for guests to be notified when their favorite Airbnbs become available. Ping is a simple widget that lives on your website or your direct booking site and allows your fans and followers to sign up and be notified if their preferred dates become available. Here's how it works. Jimmy sees that you're booked the whole month of October, but he wants to be notified if any 3-night window in the month becomes available. Jen is a returning guest, and she wants to be notified if any week in June, July, or August becomes available. In a matter of seconds, Jimmy and Jen fill out the simple form, and they will be pinged if the requested dates become available. And as a host, you will immediately get pinged via email with Jimmy and Jen's contact information and requested dates, which enables you to build up your own database of guest email addresses. Ping is what the best Airbnb hosts use to maximize bookings. You can get access to our beta pricing with plans that start at just $39 a year at bnbping.com. Again, that's bnbping.com. What's really interesting is, like, this reminds me, as I'm thinking about this more, about, like, I'm sure you've seen like the Mir houses by like Oud that are like popping up everywhere. So what's kind of cool is, like, I mean, those are, you have to pay, right? They're not free. So you buy the unit, and then, you know, it gets to show up on your property. But what's happening, right, is that because the units are so distinct, there's almost this like community that's being built around like Mir houses, right? And like people wanting to go and experience different like Mir houses. And so like you can say, oh, we have a Mir house. And that's sort of like saying, you know, 10 years ago, oh, we have an A-frame, right? It sort of evokes that same sort of like emotional response. But again, the difference is that the Mir house, you still have to pay for it and do all that. What you guys are doing is like taking a similar model of like, hey, building really cool, unique, one of a kind structures, but then you're almost letting the hospitality entrepreneur, like the hospitality business, bring the unit into their brand versus trying to layer a brand on top of it, which is really smart. Because I think some of the criticism that I've heard from folks is like, well, the reason I don't want to do like a Mir house, so the reason why I don't want to do this other unique, you know, structure is that I want something that is truly unique to me, right? Like, I don't, there will come a time when like there are too many Mir houses and they're no longer unique. In the same way that today, like, A-frames like are beautiful and awesome. There can be lots of different A-frames, but like, there's a lot of A-frames today, right? So it's interesting to think about a model where you guys are trying to plug into existing operations, existing brands, existing companies, rather than try to convince other people to like buy into a site that you guys own, right? That's branded as, you know, posh outdoors, glamping site or whatever.
And that's needed because, as I say, first project, Rocky Mountains, second project, Florida. completely different climates. Yeah. The Rockies get, you know, I live in Edmonton. In the winter, it was minus 40 degrees. And it gets even colder as well. Apparently, I got lucky with my first winter this year. That requires completely different units, completely different setups to sunny Florida, Texas, California. So we can't just be like, okay, we're going to be sending domes to everyone. It just won't work.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, the company that is part of Posh Outdoors, EJH Distribution, as I say, they're the North American distributor for four or five different European brands. And that gives us the choice so that we can go any location, whether it's hot, cold, whatever. But it also gives the operator the choice for what they think is the best kind of unit. So we've got, you know, the most basic, I say basic, they're still very nice units. The most basic units we've got are luxury canvas tents that start, you know, if we were selling them, they would be kind of $18,000 to $20,000. They're year-round units, really strong, really good with the wind and a little bit of snow, but you know, you probably couldn't put them up on top of a mountain, for example.
Yeah.
all the way up to, you know, the units that are kind of favored in our renderings. And by the way, these units do exist. They have been made. We're just using renderings because these will be the first time that they're introduced to North America rather than Europe. And we've got some cool deck concepts that we want to really kind of show. You know, the units in our renderings are called Tubo. They're from Spain. They're these incredibly unique kind of cylindrical structures that are transparent.
Like a spyglass
kind of thing. Yeah, it's like that. And, you know, they can be covered, but they can also be completely transparent, which means in clear skies, for example, you can look up at the stars and they're really beautiful and really unique. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. And so that's kind of the more kind of, I suppose, luxury, unique end of the spectrum. And there's all sorts in between. And that's why, you know, EJH Distribution, which has four or five different kind of manufacturing partnerships, and there'll be more added on, that just gives us the flexibility and the landowner the flexibility to choose what they like. And that's kind of another reason why we're really excited. And it also gives us the kind of, all these manufacturers can produce really quickly, whereas kind of there's a big backlog with mirror cabins and other kind of manufacturers, whereas we've got that supply chain kind of tied up.
Yeah, this is so interesting. I mean, like, as you're just talking, I'm thinking more and more about all the use cases. Like, you guys do, you must have an unlimited, like, unlimited demand from a pipeline perspective. Because I'm thinking about all these places. There are all these businesses right now, and I was talking to a couple entrepreneurs the other day who, you know, they're trying to do the whole, what's the RV where you go and stay on, like, vineyards called?
Oh, Harvest Host.
Harvest Host, thank you. That's so embarrassing because I've also had Joel, who's the CEO there on the podcast, but it's been a while. Anyways, Harvest Host, right? There are all these people trying to do, basically take the Harvest Host model, but then say like, hey, like we'll actually, you know, come and build you your structures, right? Like you can, let's put a couple glass cabins, right, on your vineyard so that you have like this permanent, you know, space where people can kind of stay overnight after they spend a day at like the vineyard or the brewery or whatever, right? And there are more and more of these like, companies kind of popping up and people exploring this as a business opportunity. But I haven't heard of a single one of them, again, who is giving the unit away for free and doing some sort of like rev share model. So I think what's really cool about what you guys are doing is the barrier to entry for the hospitality business is remarkably low, And yeah, you guys just need money. So, hey, if you're listening to this and you've got some money and you want to go invest in the next great glamping business, you guys have the potential to be quite huge, actually. So this is really exciting. This is, again, not a paid endorsement by any means, but you guys should go check out their Posh Outdoors' deal page. I'll have it linked in the show notes below. So, again, you can just go and access all the information. And discern whether or not this is an opportunity for you. If you want a personal intro to Nick as well, you know, reach out to me and I'd gladly make it. If you've got any questions for Nick, I'll have his email, his social handles. You're really active and you've given so much to the community, man. Like your podcast is incredible. I've been fortunate enough to be on it. If you're also just interested in the glamping space and you aren't already listening to Nick's podcast, I'll have links to it in the show notes as well. But dude, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been a real pleasure, and I'm super, super pumped by what you guys are doing with Posh Outdoors, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Oh, Zach, I appreciate it. Honestly, your podcast is a million times better than mine. I think it's fantastic. No, I'm a big listener. I'm glad that we've, you know, become, I would say, friends over the last kind of 6-9 months. And it's a pleasure to finally come on. I know it's kind of been kind of a long time in the works. So yeah, absolutely delighted to be here. Yeah, if anyone does want to invest, as I say, the deal page is there. If you scroll down to the bottom of the deal page, there's a button that says invest, and that will take you to our crowdfunding page. And that's where you can put the money in. Any questions, I can answer most of them. If you have any complex financial questions, then we can set you up with our CFO, Lee Pritchard. And yeah, we'd be very happy to help and hopefully get you involved. And yeah, as Zach said, I hope this is, well, we think this is the next big thing in the glamping and short-term rental space, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, this is amazing, man. Hey, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Zach. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Behind the Stays. I'd love to know what you thought of the episode. Feel free to shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on X, formerly Twitter, at ZBoozy, that's Z-B-O-O-Z-E-E, or on LinkedIn at Zach Boozy Cruz. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you back again soon. If you've been a listener for a while, though, I'd greatly appreciate if you could subscribe and then leave us a rating and review of the show wherever you are currently streaming this podcast. Last but certainly not least, Spontaneous and Behind the Stays are totally bootstrapped, and my ability to bring you these stories is only possible because of our incredible advertising partners. We're very much a startup show, and while our growth rate is amazing, thanks to all you who keep tuning in and sharing our show with your friends and family, we haven't quote-unquote made it yet. So if you could do me a huge favor and go and check out the sponsor for today's episode in the show notes below, I would greatly appreciate it. Even if their offering doesn't make sense for you right now, sending them a quick message on social or an email, just saying that you're listening to the show and you appreciate their support would be incredibly amazing. All right, friends, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you on the next episode of Behind the Stays.